Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth? My name is Jessica Hoddle. Today I have a guest, Jill Savage, and we are talking about overcoming broken trust in relationships. This was an amazing conversation that I had with Jill, and I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. This is not about pointing the fingers. This is not about blaming. This is about both sides taking responsibility. This is about honor. This is about healing. This is about the words that we say and how we receive the words that we're hearing. I mean, it's so full of goodness. I don't want you to miss really any more episodes in this series. And really, we're going to be talking about so much more on overcoming. Make sure you hit follow here on the podcast. And you also have the opportunity to win a book, my new book, Face Off With Your Feelings, this week, a signed copy. You get a 5-pack of my stickers. All you have to do is sign up below, get my free guide, Chase God, Not Your Feelings. It's all about how to live by faith and not by what you feel. I'm going to be choosing a winner every single week to win a copy of my book. That's all you have to do is just sign up below, get my free guide that's going to be able to help you process through and understand how to live by faith and not by what you feel in order to win a signed copy of my book. If you want to be entered twice, you can always share this podcast on Instagram and make sure you tag me. So go ahead and sign up below, hit follow on the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And let's get to this powerful interview with Jill. Jill, I am really pumped to have this conversation today about trust. And I think more now than ever, we need to understand that trust can be rebuilt. It might take time. It might take intention, but that there is always hope in pain, right? And even forgiveness and reconciliation, how they're so different. But I want you to really dive a little bit into trust and what happens at that moment when it breaks, or how we can even begin to look past the pain so that we can begin to rebuild that trust.
Yeah. Well, I think it is important because all relationships are imperfect, right, Jessica? And so all relationships are going to deal with some form of broken trust in one way or another. And we need to have the hope that whether we're the one that broke the trust or that someone broke our trust, that trust can be rebuilt. But we need to understand what it takes to rebuild that. And we need to understand that it takes far less time to break trust than it does to rebuild trust. And so we need the hope that it can happen, but we also need the help to know exactly what it takes to restore trust.
Do you ever feel like trust and expectations get mixed in together? Because I feel like sometimes we think, well, that person didn't meet my expectation of what I thought they should do. So I feel like they've broken my trust. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Can you maybe address the two and how they are different versus, you know, trust versus expectation?
Right. Well, I think that's a really important distinction to make, because if we have unrealistic expectations, people will be breaking our trust all the time. Like, they won't even know they did, because that expectation is setting up a perspective in your mind of what right looks like or how somebody should be operating. And so you're going to be constantly disappointed. You're going to be constantly experiencing what you might label as broken trust, but it really isn't broken trust. It's unrealistic expectations at work. And so a lot of times when we talk about unrealistic expectations, or when I'm working with a coaching client on that, one of the things I'll say, well, how do I know if my expectations are unrealistic? And I'll say, well, in whom or in what circumstances are you always disappointed? Where are you consistently discouraged? I would guess that those are the places that you have some expectations that are unrealistic. They're off the charts. And here's what I've come to understand. There is a space between unrealistic expectations and reality, and that space is discontentment. And in that discontentment, we can label something as broken trust when really that person didn't necessarily break our trust, but they bumped up against our unrealistic expectations. They didn't meet them, but honestly, they can't meet them, because the key word there is unrealistic. And so a lot of times what we have to do is learn how to adjust our expectations. And when we do that, when we bring them more in line with reality, then we will begin to realize that people aren't breaking our trust. That's what we would label it, nearly as much as they used to. But the truth is, they didn't change. We did. We changed our expectations. We better match them to reality.
I'm really glad that you brought up discontentment as well, because I think that really does go into how we look at others. And when they don't meet this kind of, can you make me happy? Why aren't you making me happy? Why aren't you doing these things? Which is our job inside, right? Of being able to control our emotions and our feelings and not expecting somebody to complete us. But can you give maybe just an example of each, like what a word would look like, or a phrase would look like, or an expectation of somebody, and an example of maybe what would happen if somebody broke your trust? Like, what words would be involved, or a situation, so that people can really paint a clear picture of expectation versus trust?
Okay, so I'll just use my marriage as an example. Okay, so I have this habit of when there are things in the house that need to be taken from the main level to the upstairs, I put them at the bottom of the stairs. So I pile them there. And then at some point, I'm hoping that when one of us walks upstairs, we're going to grab them. But it seems like I'm the only one who sees those. And, you know, I view my husband and I as a team, and I don't understand why sometimes he doesn't pick those up and take them upstairs. And I get really frustrated, and he lets me down as a teammate when I am expecting him to just see those and pick them up. And so I could label that, I don't trust you to be my teammate. I don't trust you to be carrying your weight around here. But the truth is, I'm the one that placed them there. The truth is, I'm the one that sees them more readily, because that's important to me. And so I could, what I've learned is, I don't need to slap a label on my husband or slap a label on the fact that he has walked upstairs and not picked those things up. I don't need to slap a label of, I can't trust you on that, because the truth is, all I need to do is say, as he starts to head up the stairs, hey, babe, could you grab those things and just take them upstairs and put them in the bedroom? And he's happy to do it. I just draw his attention to it. Sometimes it's the little things like that where somebody says, well, I shouldn't have to tell him. He breaks my trust all the time, or she breaks my trust all the time. I shouldn't have to tell them things. No, you have an unrealistic expectation. You have an unrealistic expectation that your spouse sees the same things you see, that they have the same perspectives you have, that they have the same priorities you have. The truth is, my husband is very focused in his thinking, and if he's heading upstairs, he's on a mission. And those things that are sitting at the bottom of the stairs, he didn't even see them, because that's not part of his mission. Now, when I ask him to make it part of his mission in that moment, he's happy to do it. So a lot of times, our expectations are fueling this discontentment, which becomes dissatisfaction, which becomes disillusionment, and then it can become disconnection. And what we have to do is, we have to recognize, wait a minute, I'm expecting this other person to see things the same way I see them, to operate the same way I operate. And because they're not, I'm labeling that I can't trust them. when really what's happening is I have some unrealistic expectations. Does that make sense, Jessica?
It's a great example because I think so many of us can relate. Because I know when you said stare, I was like, oh, I know where she's going because I did this too. Is that my husband is the same way. I will leave something on the stair. And it's so funny because I'd be like, I tested you on this, you know, like just kind of joking, but somewhat being serious sometimes is he just won't see it. He does not. I'm like, how do you not see this big box or this pile of socks or whatever? And he's like, I don't see it. I go right by it. I'm like, I see it every time I walk up the stairs. And I always, you know, I completely agree with you as far as we just have to use our words. We cannot expect our men to read our minds or our friends or, you know, whoever it is that you're in a relationship with. Is we have to use our words and say, this is what I need right now. You know, I need you to pick up the socks on the stairs or take up that box or whatever, because like you said, more than likely they're happy to do it.
Yes.
And they appreciate the communication versus getting yelled at 2 weeks later and they don't even know what they did wrong.
Right. Yes.
And so can you now share an example of what trust would look like if it was broken?
Yes. So it would be that if I have made a commitment to do something, for instance, in our marriage, I have in the past parented my husband. It is part of our story. It is part of what we have talked about very openly. And I have parented him and I've been highly critical of him. And as we have worked in what we call moving from a 1.0 relationship to a 2.0 relationship, it means I have to move from being a 1.0 Jill to being a 2.0 Jill. And in the midst of that, I've had to recognize that when I've parented him, when I have highly criticized him, when I have treated him like one of the kids instead of my partner, I have broken his trust. And because he trusted me to treat him as an equal in our relationship, he's trusted me with his heart. And so I've had to recognize that as I've been working on this and I've made a commitment to him that I am not going to do that anymore, that when I slip back into that, that is a form of broken trust. And what happens is I've really worked hard on this and I rarely slip back into it. And I can be tired, I can be irritable, and without knowing it, I slip right back into it. And that is a form of broken trust because I committed to you that I wouldn't do that anymore. And that's a small one. It's little because I would say when it was characteristic in our relationship, it was a big amount of broken trust. Now it's not characteristic of me anymore. And so I don't break that trust nearly as often, but that is a form of broken trust. And you see, in relationships, we often think of broken trust as like big things, you know, things that you have to forgive, or you people say, you know, I could never forgive. But honestly, we break trust in lots of little things. So, you know, in a friendship, it might be that a friendship, you shared something with a friend and that friend promised to keep it confidential. And then you found out that she told someone else. That is broken trust because she made a commitment to you and she did not carry out that commitment. That's the heart of broken trust.
Yeah, I think I really love the practical of, and I wrote down broken word. Trust can almost just be this reality that over time, even that you break somebody's trust because you've broken your word. You said you were going to text, you know, multiple times and you never did. So then you begin to say, I can't trust this person because they're not doing what they say they're going to be doing.
Yes.
And like you said, I think we know the big ones, right? The things that really can trust us, like infidelity or things like that. Like you said, even a friend going behind your back and saying these. But I also love that you said it can be just the small things that over time have built that then have taught the other person to not trust you.
Yes.
And I think that that is just as important as the big things, because We know that things start as a seed in the ground and in the heart of somebody. And then if we keep watering that, guess what? It grows into something bigger, doesn't it? And it does. I think that's where we get the bigger things sometimes, is because that little seed was planted in our hearts that over time has built without it being addressed.
Right. Well, and one thing that I would add here, you know, because in our relation, in our marriage relationship, we've dealt with the big infidelity when my husband was unfaithful 10 years ago. And we build much of our ministry on ministering to couples that are dealing with broken trust. But here's the deal. It would have been really easy for me to point the finger at him and go, "You broke my trust." And I did. I mean, he did break my trust, and he knew that. And thankfully, when his heart got in the right place and he was repentant and remorseful and wanted to make it right and wanted to begin to rebuild trust, I'm grateful for that. It would have been easy for us to stop there, but I didn't. And I'm grateful I didn't, because while I didn't cause my husband's infidelity, I contributed to the dysfunction in our marriage. And I had to look at the ways I had broken his trust. No, I wasn't unfaithful, but I had broken his trust with a critical spirit. I had broken his trust by parenting him. And I think sometimes in relationships, whether that's parenting, whether it's marriage, whether it is a friendship, we need to look at and call things broken trust that are broken trust. And I'll give you another example. I was just talking with our daughter who has a preteen. And there was a situation that happened where the preteen had misused her phone. And the way mom handled it is she realized later that it broke her daughter's trust. The way she handled the interaction and dealt with what had happened. She broke her trust with anger. She broke her trust with a reaction rather than a response. And see, we often don't label those things as broken trust, but that's exactly what it is. When we mishandle a situation as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, we do break trust.
Yeah, I think, again, it takes a lot of humility to also look at the situation and say, what have I done? Because you're absolutely right. You didn't cause somebody else's action, but there are things that, you know, being honest of saying like, I know my words didn't help, or I can be a lot better with my words, or I need to grow as well.
Yes.
Because I just know that blaming has done nothing for me, right? Like blaming somebody is really keeping me in so much bondage and so much pain. But being able to say, okay, like, these are the things that you're dealing with. Here's what you're going through. I can't control that, but I can control what's happening on the inside of me. Yes. And I think that's super important that you brought that up. I would love to begin to end this a little bit with just practical ways for people to understand how trust can be rebuilt. Yes. So how can you basically start to build this foundation of love and basically in action and deed and not just in either or? What do you recommend to your clients?
Yes. Well, first, I think it's important that we separate forgiveness and trust. Okay. Because a lot of times when our trust is broken, or when we've broken someone's trust, but let's just say that our trust has been broken, we need to choose to forgive, because that's going to get our heart cleaned up and uncluttered. And so we need to choose forgiveness, but forgiveness does not rebuild trust at all. Forgiveness opens the door for trust to be rebuilt, but in and of itself, it doesn't rebuild trust. And I think this is important because oftentimes people are hesitant to forgive because they're thinking, I don't want to forgive because I can't trust them. And it's important that we separate both of those. So forgiveness is absolutely necessary for trust to be able to be rebuilt, but in and of itself, it does not rebuild trust. So I think that's first and foremost, very, very important. Second, there is a formula building trust, and that formula consistent changed behavior over time rebuilds trust. Consistent changed behavior over time rebuilds trust. So we like to say that when you break someone's trust, it's like you have a bucket of trust, and the trust, especially if it's a big thing, the trust bucket gets dumped. Okay. Maybe if it's little things, like you kind of said, over time, oh, she doesn't return my texts, or, you know, then a little bit of water gets dumped out of that bucket. But the truth is, the water gets poured out of the bucket, but you can't just say, I'm so sorry, and then it's like refilling the bucket back up. You can say, I'm sorry. I'm so very sorry. I know that it hurt you this way. Will you please forgive me? If forgiveness is given, great. Now I have the opportunity to rebuild trust. And the next time I get a text, I need to make sure I answer that text. Oh, that's a drop in the bucket. And then the next time I get a text, I answer the text. That's another drop in the bucket. So it takes very little time to dump the bucket and break trust. And it takes a lot more time to fill the bucket up and rebuild trust. But the more we are consistent in what we say we will do, the more we will fill that bucket back up and the trust will be rebuilt.
I'm really glad that you talked about forgiveness kind of being the foundational piece, because I think that is what initiates our heart posture. Yes. Of being able then to, one, being willing to receive then their change. Because sometimes we're like, you're not going to change. And if you haven't even started to go in that process of forgiveness, it's easy to still look through the lens of what had happened. Yes. And I think that was so important as far as the foundational piece. And then you said, again, it's that the small steps every day of showing up to that person that they can trust you again and doing what you say that you're going to do. Yeah. I just think that is so incredibly important. And I think a lot of people struggle with the forgiveness piece just to start with. And so maybe you can encourage their heart a little bit there as far as forgiveness, because like you shared today, you've walked through a lot with your own husband. So maybe just sharing what that looked like for you to even begin to rebuild the trust.
Yeah. Well, forgiveness, it's really important that we understand that forgiveness is a decision. It isn't a feeling. If you wait until you feel like forgiving, you are going to wait for the rest of your life, because you will not feel like it. It will have to be a decision. You are choosing to let that hurt go from tangling your heart up. Okay. It's not that you're forgiving or you're forgetting it. You're not forgetting it, but you're choosing to place that in God's hands and to say, I am choosing to not let this control my heart anymore. Because as long as it is in control of my heart, I have walls up. As long as it is in control of my heart, anger is at the heart of my feelings towards you. And so I can trust and I can forgive and still not trust you. That is the reality of what's going to happen. But that forgiveness is a decision to let go, place that in the hands of the one who can actually untangle my heart. And that's the most important thing, because when our heart is tangled up, it's hard. It is unavailable. It's unavailable to God. It's unavailable to our relationship, that relationship with the person that we ultimately want to be able to give the opportunity to rebuild trust. So very much so, forgiveness is a choice we have to make. And it is a choice that actually results in our own freedom. That's ultimately what we're looking for, is our own freedom, so that our heart is not hardened and it is not entangled. And because if we don't forgive, we end up in bitterness, and we don't want a bitter heart. Here's the thing. You're not just bitter towards that person. Bitterness leaks out over all relationships. So your bitterness, your hard heart is going to affect you not only in a marriage, but also in your parenting, also in friendships, because it grows a bitter root in our heart. So we want to be intentional about forgiveness and making that decision.
Forgiveness is for sure a choice, but I also think about scripture and really he commands us to forgive. And I think that when we think of commandment or a command to forgive your brother, it's almost like, how dare you say that to me? But I love how Jesus continually talked about forgiveness. Like, don't even give at the altar until you go deal with your brother. Yes. And I truly believe that since he's a God of love and he is love, that he knew what forgiveness does to us. He knew what unforgiveness does to our hearts, to our bodies, to our relationships. This isn't like, he's not out to punish us and say, you have to forgive the people that have hurt you pain. He's like, no, I know that if you keep holding on to this, that it's only going to cause you more pain.
Yes.
And that has really helped me reshape how I viewed forgiveness, not as a punishment or as if it's like a get out of pain free card for the other people, you know, but for myself to say, oh, like God is so kind to offer this because he's forgiven us of our own sins and all the things that we've done, that I can now extend this to other people.
Yes. And you know what, Jessica, here's the other thing about forgiveness that I think we don't understand. And that is we underuse forgiveness in our life. You remember the story I was sharing with you about my husband walking up the stairs and not seeing the things at the bottom of the stairs? Mm-hmm. That is an opportunity for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. People don't think of that.
Yeah.
We just get sideways. Right? We get sideways in our head and our heart. And so in that moment, when I see that, and if I don't think to say, hey, would you grab that? Then what I need to do is actually go, Lord, I forgive him for not seeing that. Just be done with it. Just do business in your heart. Because if not, it accumulates there. Mm-hmm. It accumulates those little things. Those little irritations accumulate and they become big deals in your heart and they harden your heart towards others. And so I think we underuse forgiveness. So when a friend lets us down, we need to forgive. When our child disappoints us, we need to forgive. And when our spouse disappoints us, we need to forgive. Mm-hmm.
I love just being able to, I was writing in my journal actually this morning talking about how basically what you're saying almost is quick to forgive before it takes root in your heart. Because as soon as we start to meditate on it, it starts to take root. And then the enemy has his foothold where he starts to come in and say, well, look at all the other things they haven't done and they don't care about you. And so we get stuck and then an emotional loop where we just start to look for things to prove our point, and then it just continues to grow. So I love that you're like, just nip it in the bud right away. Don't let it create that seed in your heart. Don't let it start there and just say, no, I'm not going to hold on to this day. I'm not going to hold offense to, you know, this happening right now. So where can more people find it? I know you have so many books, like you're my hero in book writing. but you have so many books and you help so many people and marriages. And so why don't you just share where we can learn more about you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, just head over to jillsavage.org, JILLSAVAGE.org. And you'll see my books, my blog. I also have a podcast, the No More Perfect Podcast. And then specific to rebuilding trust, we actually have a rebuilding trust guide. It's a free guide that you can get at rebuildingtrust.us, rebuildingtrust.us, and you can get a free rebuilding trust guide.
Yeah, that's awesome. The links are in the show notes below, but just thank you so much for your story and your honesty and sharing your wisdom with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jessica.